By way of introduction, a man who needs no introduction, I'm probably actually talking into both microphones right now, so I should probably move over here. Where's the clicker? Oh, there it is. It's the big thing with the orange sticker on it that I couldn't see. I'm just going to kind of try to walk around a little bit so that I'm not standing back there the whole time. So I'm we look so alike, but I'm the one on the top. I'm Vince DiCaro. I'm the Chief Outreach Officer of CareNet. I've been with the organization for a little over 2 years. So Dallas, 2 years ago, was my last conference, and the last year was San Diego. So this is my third CareNet conference. They finally let me out in public. Usually they just keep me in the office. And well, actually, last year, were you guys any? Who was here last year in San Diego? Okay. So I was the one dressed up as Hamlet. You remember that? Or no? Okay. She's like, unfortunately, I do remember that. Yeah, that was me. I did Hamlet, and then we had the 1970s party on the last night, and I was wearing completely inappropriate clothing, but it was appropriate for the period. But fast forward 30 years, you know, not so sure. So I came on board with CareNet 2 years ago to really start to essentially create an official marketing and communication team at the organization. There really wasn't one at the time, believe it or not, even at the national office. There were people here and there who would do marketing, sort of, and communication stuff, kind of. But we really wanted to make it a integral, official department and function of the organization. So I came on board. I had been working at the National Fatherhood Initiative for 12 years before that, and so doing that sort of work. And so I came on board, we launched our new website, we launched our social media stuff, and then also very importantly, and this will come up during our workshop, we really worked on integrating our development department, our fundraising department, along with what we do in marketing and communication, so that our messaging is consistent, and that we're also, as we're marketing the organization in general, and getting new people, getting new names, getting new leads, contacts, etc., that at some point that those people are also being integrated into our fundraising efforts, because those are people who have raised their hand and said, I'm interested in what you're doing. They've given us their contact information in some way, shape, or form. So really that cross-functionality between marketing and communication and fundraising, we needed to bring that together. And so that's also what I've been working on with for the last couple of years. Artie has been with CareNet for 4 months, 5 months? Yeah. And he's already revolutionized, and actually I'm only exaggerating a little bit. He's really done an extraordinary job creating just great content and also being able to publish and promote that content through our social media channels. And so most of the blog posts you see, et cetera, hi. Most of the blog posts you see already either wrote them or made somebody else write it. And so we're going to go through essentially how we do a lot of that stuff. So we're going to do live demos and get into under the hood of CareNet's website and social media and actually show you a couple of things on how you can actually do some of this stuff. Now the big question I think that often comes up in these settings is this marketing to clients or is this marketing to the general public or is this marketing to donors? Most of what we're going to talk about here is I shouldn't say most. A lot of it, like the real tactical stuff, is probably going to be more applicable to your donors and the general public. But I think the principles that we're going to go over are definitely going to be applicable to communicating what you do and your message and your vision and what you want folks to know about you. It will also be applicable to potential clients as well. And so we'll try to kind of point out where the two might overlap, or you know, this is something that you won't be able to necessarily do for clients, but you will be able to do for donors or the general public. So we'll try to kind of point those different things out as we go along. So that said, let's get started. So I think the underlying principle here that we're going to really be that's going to undergird most of what we say today is this notion of inbound marketing. How many people in the room have heard of inbound marketing? So six or seven. Good. Okay. So about half of you have heard of it. So in short, inbound marketing is the promotion of a company or organization through blogs, podcasts, video, etc., and other forms of content marketing, which serve to attract customers through the different stages of the purchase funnel. So, I mean, you can change customers to donors or clients. So where it says, you know, attract donors, attract clients, attract people who are interested in what you do. So you could replace the word customers with that. And then different stages of the purchase funnel, you can replace the word purchase with donation funnel or volunteer funnel. So whatever kind of final action you want people to take, these principles will apply to all of those situations. How do you get somebody from not knowing anything about you to all the way down to signing up to volunteer, making a donation, walking into your center for, you know, to make an appointment, etc. So that getting them from stranger to somebody who takes an action, okay? All right, so again, just getting our heads around, and hey. Okay. I'll just proceed as normal. So getting our heads around what inbound marketing is. Maybe I should lower the microphone. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Do that over here.
Yeah, okay. The real difference is, can you close that door too, actually? The real difference between traditional marketing and inbound marketing is this notion of a megaphone versus a magnet. Thus the very clever name of our workshop, Be a Marketing Magnet. And the nice little graphic that we made, it took us days to create that. right. And so kind of old-fashioned or traditional marketing is more like a megaphone, right? You're interrupting what somebody's doing to give them a message about yourself. So, and I'll give you kind of the easiest example of that in a moment. And then, but inbound marketing is you basically, you're sitting still, so to speak, and you've set yourself up like a magnet, and people are actually coming to you. So rather than going to them and kind of interrupting the flow of what they're doing, you're actually making yourself interesting enough or creating things that are interesting enough to actually have people coming to you, right? And so that's the whole idea, right? If you could figure out how to get people to come to you, that's obviously much better than they're watching their favorite TV show and they have to take a 3-minute break from their favorite TV show because you need to shout a message at them, right? So that's kind of a nice little illustration. So kind of old school marketing, TV commercials, print ads. So you're, you know, reading your favorite article in Sports Illustrated or whatever, and then right in the middle of your favorite article is an ad. And then it's like you have to skip forward 50 pages to find where the article continues, right? It's an interruption, right? And then, but inbound marketing is you're on your iPad and you're like, you know what, what's the best way for me to talk to an abortion-minded client? And so you go on Google and you search talking to abortion-minded clients, and you find a link to a white paper on CareNet's website. We don't actually have that white paper yet. We should probably make one. But you find an essay or a white paper or a downloadable PDF-style document on CareNet's website. So you click through to CareNet's website. Now, CareNet is a magnet, right? They've attracted you to them because you were looking for something in particular, and CareNet was providing that. So you go to CareNet's website, you see this great paper, you give CareNet your email address so that you can download the white paper, and there you have it. So that's kind of a simple example of what's the difference between being a megaphone versus being a magnet, right? So we're going to kind of talk about what that means. Okay, so This is a simple but very helpful and illustrative, pick the pronunciation that suits you, example of how the inbound marketing methodology works. So if you learn nothing else today, look at this slide, post it in your cube or your office or whatever, and really just kind of start to understand this process. So this is, as it says at the top, this is the way you turn strangers into customers and promoters of your business, or in this case, let's say donors of your organization or clients of your organization, right? So we're always going to, of course, start here. So even if you're the most well-known pregnancy center east of the Mississippi, 99% of the general public probably still doesn't know who you are, right? So most folks are strangers. And so our first challenge always is, how do we turn strangers into visitors? We at least want them to come to our website or our Facebook page or whatever else that we're doing. So how do we take that first step? So that's called the attract phase. So how do you attract folks to what you're doing? And so we're going to go through each of these four. Actually, we're not going to do delight today. That would take 6 hours, but we only have 4.5, right? So we're going to do attract, convert, and close today, right? So, and we're going to talk about each of the four areas underneath these, well, most of them, in each of those phases. So the attract phase is turning them from strangers into visitors through blogging, social media, search engine optimization, or keywords, and basically pages is, you know, essentially your website. Then the next phase is, how do you turn folks from visitors into leads? So it's one thing to have somebody just come to your website and browse around, they look at a couple pages and they leave and you never hear from them again, right? And that's fine. They probably hopefully got something helpful out of your website. But you really want that person to take a step, right, when they're on your website, right? You want them to call you or fill out a form or give you their email address or express some sort of interest, right, before, so leave some sort of trace, so to speak, before they leave. All right? So that's called converting. You want to convert folks from visitors to leads. So we're going to talk about calls to action, landing pages, forms, and contacts. And then the next phase is turning people from leads into customers. So it's great if you got their email address, but if you have their email address for 20 years and you've sent them 7,000 emails over those 20 years and they've never actually done anything other than maybe reading your emails, which is fine too, but if they've never signed up to volunteer or made a donation or come and visited you as a client, then, you know, you haven't really gone as far as you could potentially go with that particular person. So you want to turn people from leads to customers, right? So you use things like emails, workflows, lead scoring, and CRM integration, which we're not really going to go into. Actually, if there's anyone in the room actually who knows that, it's probably Jake Hall over there. So, but Jake's the quiet, strong, quiet type. I don't know. So we're going to go through each of those three phases in excruciating detail over the next 4 hours. Hold your breath. All right. This is just another way of looking at that same thing. So this actually looks more like a funnel. So a lot of you have probably heard of, you know, people talking about the marketing funnel. So this is the inbound marketing funnel specifically. And so it's again just like a nice, it's another way of illustrating that same concept. So, you know, that's in your handouts. Again, it's a nice little thing that you can look back at. However, a very clever organization has actually come up with a different way of envisioning the inbound marketing funnel. Because if you think about a funnel, when you put something into the funnel, you don't actually have to do any work to get it to go down through and come out the bottom of the funnel. That's built to do that, right? It automatically, you know, gravity, 9.8 meters per second squared, right? It's just going to, I remember that from high school physics. But anyway, Mr. Stevens would be proud. And so it's just going to drop right through the funnel, right, and come out the bottom. But the reality is that you actually have to work to get people to the next phase, right? So this is called the inverted marketing funnel. And so this is actually a more kind of scientifically sound way of looking at it, where folks are coming into your funnel at the bottom, right? So they visited your website down here, right? Oh, and look, they actually have the 9.8 meters per second squared. That's funny. I swear I didn't know that. Look at that. and so gravity, that the G is for gravity. So gravity is pushing them back out. So they're actually, the natural order of things is that they will fall out of the funnel, right? So they visit your website and the inertia has them coming back out of the funnel and they're gone, right? So in order to push them up through the funnel, you have to get them to actually make a series of what we call micro yeses. So a bunch of little yeses until they get to that big yes, which is, yes, I will make a donation. Yes, I will come to your center and visit. Yes, I will sign up to volunteer. Whatever that yes is that you want them to make, typically folks are going to have to make a series of smaller yeses in order to get to that. So yes, I'll sign up for your blog. Yes, I'll download your white paper. Yes, I will, I don't know, something. And then, yes, I will make that donation or whatever it might be. So that's your inverted funnel. I have no idea what this thing is up here. it looks like Gleason. Oh yeah. So Eve is the director of our client one of the directors in center services, and she's actually a really good resource. So you mm-hmm. can email and or call on the phone, and she could probably walk you through some things on that point. Yeah. So Eve Gleason is her name. Yeah.
Yeah. Steps model. First of the steps to success here. You see, success steps. Sorry. Anyway, social currency.
And this is from a book by Jonah Berger called.
That's not Major Stick.
Yeah,
what's the other one?
Major Stick is Chip and Dan Heath. This one, gosh, I've read the book like twice and I can't even remember the name of it. Anyway, keep on going. I'll look it up.
Social currency. People value how others perceive them. Make your readers feel like they're insiders. This is where you'll see this used by companies all the time, where they'll say, you know, private sale, VIP this, VIP that. It's something to make you feel like you're bought in, like you're part of the know. You're getting the special email that goes out once a week just to those select groups of people, et cetera. And actually, it should click play. Because I had a video there.
Here,
let me see if it'll...
Oh, here we go.
There we go.
Will it blend? That is the question.
Anyone ever seen these videos before? All right. That is a $375 blender.
Do you want me to keep it going?
Yeah, go ahead and keep it playing. $375 blender, and this is one of the most successful ad campaigns the company's ever done. It's also the longest running they've ever done.
Salutations, everyone. I've been blending iPhones for more than 8 years. So I was super excited for the new one to come out. But when I saw the iPhone SE, I said, hey, isn't this the old iPhone 5?
All right, now you can stop it.
Sure, it's a little better, but I thought...
Now, how many of you would keep watching that video to see what happens? Right? I mean, let's be honest.
Like three of you. No.
I know for me, I wanted to see what would happen. I mean, that's a $400 phone being put inside a $400 blender. This guy has mulched wood in that blender. He has taken an entire can of green beans and blended the entire can. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. So this is an example of social currency. People see this. They feel like they know or have seen something really special. And what do they do then with it? They share it. They put it on their Facebook feed. Anyone see the Tasty videos? Have you seen those? Tasty, Easy Cook. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. And they're simply videos of someone taking their camera over their hands, preparing a dish, most of the time involving copious amounts of butter, sugar, and other things that are great for you. And they show you how to do this in 60 seconds. And these 60-second videos have become so popular. I feel like my Facebook feed has been taken over by Food Network. It's crazy because all these people are sharing them because they see, oh, wow, I can make a Reese's peanut butter pie, or I can make myself a giant 5-pound thing of nougat, and they do it through those videos. So they're all using social currency to do that. Triggers. You want to be on the tip of a person's tongue. Writing about things that people are already talking about can enable your content to keep coming to mind, all right? So, for example, if you have a persuasive article about abortion and breast cancer, that may continue to come to mind when they think about other forms of cancer. And this happens to us all the time because our minds are wired this way. We store things in our mind based on what they're connected to. So if you can connect your idea to something that's already going on, whenever that thing happens, they're going to think about your issue. All right? There's a film out there called Hush. I'll just throw this little plug in, because if your center wants to know more and talk through and just be blown away by the research on abortion and breast cancer, this documentary film was actually, the filmmaker who did it was a pro-choice feminist woman. And she did this film because she was disturbed by how little was being said about the link between breast cancer and abortion. It's fascinating. And some of our most popular posts in the last 5 months have been on that topic. We've seen a lot of discussion, a lot of social sharing, because cancer's on a lot of people's minds. And my mother herself was a breast cancer survivor. And chances are you probably know someone who is a breast cancer survivor. So those are all triggers that once you read that article will cause it to come to mind. Any question about triggers? What that means? All right. Emotion, again, it's so important. It's in both models, steps and success. When we care, we share. Cecil the Lion, the CMP videos, United Breaks Guitars. Anyone ever heard of that? All right, you want to kindle the fire. You can just click play, and I think on there it'll start for a second the video. This went viral. It actually got this.
I flew United Airlines on my way to Nebraska. The plane departed Halifax, connecting in Chicago's O'Hare. While on the ground, a passenger said from the seat behind me, "My God, they're throwing guitars out there." The band and I exchanged a look, best described as terror.
All right. So this song went viral. He was on Good Morning America. He was on nightly talk shows. This guy went everywhere because he watched United break his Taylor guitar, about $6,000 guitar. He's a musician from Canada. And he proceeded to go through customer service and get the royal runaround because they said, well, you didn't pack it properly. And he said, I have witnesses on the plane who sign off and say they watched your staff throwing the guitar in the air. It had nothing to do with packing. So when the normal communication channels didn't work, he turned to social media and created this video. What proceeded was a viral campaign that has already been estimated to have cost United Airlines, a multinational corporation, over $20 million because they refused to replace one $6,000 guitar. So when people care, they will share the story. And I flew 10 flights with United Airlines my first summer working for right after college, and I went to 10 different conferences around the country, and I saw 10 things go wrong each of that whole summer. And so that video ignited something in me, and I shared it because I'd seen luggage get lost and other things. So you see, this is how marketing works. Good marketing isn't a megaphone. You're joining a conversation already happening. And he gave a voice to a lot of people who were upset. He actually made two other videos, and in each of the videos, he names by name customer service specialists and director level people with United Airlines. And it was something that they're still working to recover from. So just another example of what this does. Public. Create content that advertises itself. You guys see some stuff up there you recognize maybe? Ice Bucket Challenge raised over $100 million to fight ALS. The whole change your profile picture on Facebook to show respect for those who died in the Paris attack, the Live Strong. Of course, this wonderful pro-life campaign that has also gone viral. Content that creates a visible behavioral residue. So people are seeing your content, and they're changing their behavior because of it. They're throwing buckets of ice on top of themselves. I mean, how crazy can you get? But we're in the age of crazy. It's social media. Practical value. Highlight the value of your content. Teach someone something, and they'll want to teach their friends and share. And I think there's another video on that you can click as an example of this. Those are those tasty videos I was telling you about. Extremely simple, no narration, or at least not auditory narration, where they're teaching you how to make something. And these videos have been, each one has been shared over 100,000 times. So you can do a lot with practical value. And then stories, once again. It's so important, just like emotions. It's on both models. Stories travel. Turn your story into a Trojan horse. People will want to tell the story, and then your idea gets to go along for the ride. Isn't that fun? It's a freeloader. It's great. They're sharing the story, and in the process, they're sharing your message. Who here has ever heard of Supersize Me? All right? Supersize Me costs tens of millions of dollars for McDonald's. They're still fighting to overcome it. Can you start the video right there? And it was all because of this man right here and this trailer that started it all.
Yeah, could I get the double quarter pounder with cheese meal? I think I'm going to have to go supersize.
It's hard for me to watch him go through this.
It seems like you're starting to get addicted to it now.
Use all these numbers, right?
These numbers are outrageous.
Unfortunately, you caused some major harm to your heart, your liver, your blood.
You're going
to
die. You'll die.
And I want more, 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 more.
You've got to stop.
All right. So basically, for those of you who don't know, this man went on a social experiment. He said, every time that I go to McDonald's, and he's only going to eat McDonald's for a year, 3 meals a day, and they ask me, would you like to supersize that? I'm going to say yes. I'm never going to refuse the supersize option. And I'm going to eat a meal for each one meal, one value meal. I'm not going to order extra, but one value meal for each day of that year. And I'm going to track my health progress. Basically, as you heard in the trailer, his health started to tank. This became a viral social media story that caused McDonald's to introduce whole hosts of new products into their line to appeal to health-conscious people. And I'll give you a secret. A lot of those products don't sell. If you actually look at the bottom line of McDonald's, they're not making money in a large extent on the salads and on the parfaits. They're still making on the same stuff you ordered on the supersize. But why do they keep it on the menu now? Because of this. Because this story was so prevalent, they had to respond. So stories matter. People who didn't even have a beef with McDonald's were telling the story of the guy who got sick with McDonald's. And whether they knew it or not, they were already advocating against McDonald's. So imagine what would happen if someone came up with a pro-life campaign of a similar matter with Planned Parenthood or NARAL, or Planned Parenthood Clinic, what could happen. Again, these are just things that have worked and things that in little ways we can implement in your centers. And the example I want to give you from our website for a moment is one of our Abundant Life Series videos. So go ahead, Vince, and click play on that.
I'm Cynthia, and I just flash back to when I was a young girl at 15. I exercised my right to choose, and I chose abortion at 15 under the direction of a well-intentioned mom. She was trying to preserve her relationship with a wonderful Italian father, and we thought the unintended pregnancy would be best dealt with abortion. And I entered into my first abortion decision at 15 years old. I did what a lot of 15-year-old girls do after abortion. I acted out. I dove deeper into the lifestyle that landed me in the...
This video is longer, and we don't have time today to go through all of it, but that gives you a taste of it. That is part of our Abundant Life series of videos where we just interviewed those involved in the pro-life movement, those who have... Cynthia works in the pro-life movement. I think she's a center... She's a center director. And she shares her personal story and experience with abortion. Nothing more. As you can see, the video wasn't very difficult to produce. I wish I could say it took a lot of fancy work behind the scenes, but it was really just someone sitting in front of the camera, a couple different angles being used, and a nice intro and outro, and that was it. Here's the ad results for that video. We boosted that on Facebook for $150. That was it. That's all the money we put behind the ad. For 7 days, 91,000 people saw that ad. Think about that for a moment. 91,000 people saw the name Karenet and the little intro to her story. Of those 91,000 people, almost half of them watched the video. 44,598 views. The cost per view, so how much we as an organization had to pay per view to get that story out there, was 1/3 of a cent. Yes. Yes. Actually, on our YouTube page. The video is on our YouTube page, yes. And it's also on our website. It was a blog post back in, I think, August. But you can go to our YouTube page, you can go to our Facebook page, it's on there. And we had 754 shares of that video. So that's 754 people who watched it and shared it. And by the way social currency works, every time one of those people shared it, all their friends saw it. The residual effect of those ads was 188,000 people reached with the message. 754 shares and 71,000 views of that video.
Can we add the link to
that on our site? Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. As a CareNet affiliate, these videos are resources.
Yeah, or really
there.
Anyone, I suppose. I mean, you can't really stop anyone from linking
you
to
can't,
your website.
But
you want them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you guys can absolutely use them. You, in fact, if you go onto YouTube, you can get
the embed link.
The embed language and actually embed the YouTube video right into your website or whatever.
Yeah.
And just want to say a word about the budget here. You know, obviously at the CareNet, you know, national office or whatever, our audience is the whole country. I mean, we're trying to reach everyone. You know, we have a national audience. Mm-hmm. But $150 is a pretty small amount in the grand scheme of things. But despite that, you know, we reached a pretty significant number of people. But you know, some of you might be saying, "Well, I don't have much of an advertising budget." You know,
exactly.
Spending over $100 on just one thing is, you know, maybe a little bit crazy. But if you think about it, most of you guys probably have, you know, your audience is going to be much more, you know, geographically limited, mm-hmm. right? You're trying to reach a city or a county or maybe a state. And so through Facebook advertising, you can actually target however big or small a group mm-hmm. of people you want based on location, interest, et cetera, demographics, et cetera, et cetera. So you could say, I only want to reach 18 to 30-year-old women in Topeka, right? And in that case, $150 could, if you're able to reach 91,000 people, I mean, you probably reached every 18-year-old girl in the entire county, or, you know, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get the point. So for us, from a national perspective, trying mm-hmm. to literally reach the entire country, $150 actually went a really long way. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if we try to spread out our budget pretty much evenly over the entire year. But if we decided, you know what, we want to spend $2,000 just on this video because it's that important, we could have reached 1 million people. And so we're going to go into some detail.
Yeah, we have Facebook advertising detail coming up later.
Yeah, and so it's you know, it's just an incredibly powerful way and a very cost-effective way to reach a lot of people very cheaply. I mean, a third of a cent, right, per video view. So you can't beat that. So
and I will say also, and piggyback on that. So thank you, Vince. The strength of Facebook advertising is that you can constantly edit and change your spend, your duration, your targeting, everything else within the campaign. Now, I will caution you, don't change every 5 minutes what your ad campaign is doing or it won't go anywhere, all right? You don't want to stop the horse in midstream, so to speak. But if you're running an ad campaign for a week and halfway through the week you see it's not doing that well, change the targeting, change where it's being placed, and we'll be talking about all of that. But there's a lot of flexibility in there for low, low costs. Vince and I get offers all the time at CareNet headquarters for these different marketing firms that are like, hey, we want to put your banner ad over here, or, you know, we want to put you in this magazine. And the cost to get in front of those audiences is extravagantly more than we're paying through Facebook advertising. I'll also say this. This video performed better than other videos we've done. So if you do your first video and you don't get a third of a cent per view, don't be discouraged. All right?
This was a really
optimal video, which is why I wanted to show you, what could happen. I'll also say that Facebook videos are given an incentive in Facebook's advertising policies. They're wanting to overtake YouTube, which means if you're putting video content on the web, they're going to give you an incentive. They're actually going to give you a handicap, if you will, so your costs are going to be cheaper than if you're doing a standard post. All right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mostly because our videographer's sister lived in Japan.
Wow.
It was amazing. Shared it with her friends. They shared it. And then it came back to the States. Mm-hmm. And then it just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's working with the SciShow Talk Show people.
Wow.
And they do like mental thoughts.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
One video because like our videographer's sister.
Right. Yeah, you just never know, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't get discouraged. No, it's constant experimenting. A lot of it's going to depend on your audience because one ad that may do a third of a cent with one audience, if you're targeting a different audience, might cost 10 times that to do it. It really depends on all those factors. So the point of that is experiment. Experiment. All right. I know growing up, my teachers always said, make mistakes. If you guys remember Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus, so wonderful. I heard that Netflix is bringing it back. I'm so excited. My baby girl might get to watch Miss Frizzle too. So, you know, take chances, make mistakes, get messy. That's what you can do and should do with Facebook advertising. blogs. So we've just talked about the success and steps model. We're still talking about attracting visitors. And now we're going to talk about the ever-important blog. What is it? What should you include it in it? And how do you cut through the noise? Those are the three things we're going to be talking about under blogs. Who here has a blog for their center? Three hands. Or actually, five? Wait. Oh, okay. Perfect. Awesome. Yes. Blogs. Ma'am, right over here, I think you raised your hand. What do you have on your blog? What do you include? Very good.
Right.
Sure, no, that's fine. That's great. That's great.
Any client stories? And it's probably, you probably have to be careful how you do client mm-hmm. stories, because you don't want to like necessarily give away the ending, so to speak. Like, people who come here keep their babies, and that's what you should do too, you know? But you could probably still tell part of the client story, especially if you're not careful.
I actually heard, I think it might have been that case, where the woman said that a family member didn't know that she had had an abortion, and she was telling her story in the video. And so she was afraid that was going to get out. Now, thankfully, we had the permission form. So legally, we had the right to do that. In fact, legally, we had, as Vince said, the right to keep the video up if we wanted to. But that's where, again, as a pro-abundant life organization, we respected her privacy, even though she'd given permission, and took it down. But if we hadn't had that form and she wanted to make a legal issue of it, it would have been a liability for us. And so that's where it's a simple process to get that form signed. And if someone doesn't sign the form, as tempting as it is to use their story, just move on to the next one. Because these stories are coming into your center every day that you're open. So how many of you here have more than one blog? Anyone? What blogs do you have? Why do you have those two separate, distinct blogs?
Well, because the one about the center is about the center. It's about trying to promote that and get people to that kind of thing. And the ministry blog is more about making women
Christian. And you see, that is something we're going to be talking about here. At CareNet, we have four blogs for those exact same purposes. Each audience needs a different message. So if you're doing a blog for donors, for example, you're going to be talking about how this person accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior before they left. This person chose to keep her child. This person chose to keep her child. If you're an abortion-minded client and you start seeing all these posts about people accepting Jesus, people choosing to keep their children, you may not come to that center because you say, I don't want those people. They sound crazy. Not that you are, because you're not, but that might be how they interpret it. So that's where you having separate blog channels can be so important and helpful in what you're doing. So going through this, a definition of a blog. So here I give you kind of your textbook definition up there. So a website containing a group of writers' own experiences, observations, etc. My personal favorite definition of a blog comes from a movie called Contagion by a character. Blogging is not writing, it's graffiti with punctuation. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in the graffiti business. So with good punctuation, hopefully. Fast facts.
Graffiti is actually pretty good.
Oh, it can be. Great art.
Crack is whack. Anyone ever see the crack is whack one? Yeah. Used to pass that on the way to my grandmother's house all the time. Beautiful neighborhood. No.
Jersey is the Garden State.
Right,
so.
This was actually in New York on the Cross Bronx Expressway, I think, on the way to Queens. But anyway.
Fast facts. There are 59.3 million posts each month just on WordPress alone. Let me say that again. Over 59 million blog posts published on one website each month. 2 million posts a day worldwide. 365 days a year, you can do the math. All of these posts are shareable through Twitter and Facebook and are shared hundreds of millions of times per month. So right now, as a marketer, you should already be realizing, wow, I've got my job cut out for me if I'm going to cut through that noise. There's a lot of social noise going on that your message is trying to cut through. The evolution of blogging. Blogging started out with individual blogs readers subscribed to through Blogger, WordPress, things like that. You guys remember that? In fact, there was a big news story, all right, in Atlantic that I was reading in preparation for this workshop where they were talking about the most famous blogger in the world. He had been in all Time Magazine, all these things back, I think, starting in 2004. He was at the beginning of blogging. He had over, at the peak, I think he had over 12 million daily subscribers to his blog. He just closed his blog because no one is reading it anymore. Because blogging has evolved. It is now a primarily socially driven platform. The majority of blog posts are not interacted with by people who subscribed to the blog. They're interacted with by people who are on Facebook and see one of their friends share the post and they read it. I personally do not have a subscription to Atlantic Magazine, but a lot of my friends share Atlantic articles on their Facebook feeds, so I read those shared articles.
And of course, Atlantic shares their own articles on their Facebook feed.
Exactly.
Which is how his friends share them. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're just relying on subscribers to your blog, you're only going to get so far.
Yeah, I mean, these people might actually like never go to your website other than to click through to a blog post that they found on social media. So, but if the blog post isn't there in the first place, then they're not going to have an excuse to click through
exactly.
to your website.
So you need a blog on your website, and you should have a subscription channel. But you're going to get a lot of your traffic through social platforms. Now more than ever, your content has to be... Exactly.